Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John Couch. John's engineering and producing our show. And together, a big welcome from KVOI, Tucson's voice for Trusted News Talk. We're in our 11th year here on the radio. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Today is Monday, April the 19th, 2021. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is sponsored by our longtime friends and signature sponsor of the face-off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been around a long time and providing great service since 1985. And they specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. And they're doing e-commerce in a big way with their newly redesigned website. Check it out. The website is moesgallery.com. Check that out and then stop by at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, conveniently located over at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. It's time for the Monday political face-off. Our commentator teams today, John Munger is here, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. John is with me in studio, and we have Jeff Rogers, our other longtime contributor. Jeff got hung up in court, so he is with us on the live line. Jeff, well-known Tucson attorney. He's the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. So I guess courts are back in session in a live one-on-one fashion.
Yes, we had three trials last week, two criminal trials and one civil trial. Judge Bergen had the civil trial, and, you know, they had to seat all the jurors in the gallery area to maintain social distancing. But everything went fairly smoothly from what when I was talking this morning in court to some people who participated in one of the trials, that everything kind of went pretty smoothly, given the strange circumstances. I mean, us lawyers, you know, when you mess up our routines, it's not fun for us. But, sitting in different places, they had the lawyers sat in the jury box.
Wow.
Looking out on the courtroom of where the jurors were in the spectator area. So it was kind of a strange setup, but I guess we'll figure it out.
Well, that's we have another well-known attorney with me in studio. John, that's kind of weird, isn't
that's
it?
That's very weird.
The attorney's where the jury is?
Yeah, okay. There's no desk space there.
No. John, how was your weekend?
A wonderful weekend, Bill. How about you?
It was great. The weather's been really good. It felt like normal temperatures again.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Above normal. And Jeff, you had a great weekend too, I assume.
Oh, it was just a lovely weekend. The weather cooperated and gave us something less than scorching hot, which I was sort of expecting.
Yeah, I really hope we can hold off on that. Well, former Republican House Speaker John Boehner made the rounds on all the talk shows yesterday. He's pushing his new book, and he's urging his fellow Republicans, John Munger, to return to traditional principles and focus on things like fiscal responsibility and strong national defense. He says that's the key to win back Congress in 2022.
Well, John Boehner, the Republican Party has never lost its position in favor of fiscal responsibility and strong national defense. Although John Boehner was part of the group of Republicans that forgot fiscal responsibility, and strong national defense seemed to mean war every place you could find it. John Boehner is part of the problem, not part of the solution. John, if you read John Boehner's comments, he doesn't like anybody who just doesn't want to go along to get along. He's low energy. Never came to realize during his time in Congress that the Democratic Party was moving farther and farther left. And he didn't want to deal with that. And if anybody on the Republican side said, look, this is getting to be extremes on the left, he didn't want to deal with that. He just wanted to make a deal. And so he considers anybody currently in the leadership of today, not just Trump, but everybody, he considers them all, he calls them cuckoos, crazies, nuts.
Knuckleheads, he referred
knuckleheads.
To them. Yeah.
And, you know, John Boehner's a part of the Republican Party establishment that could never stand up and fight for what we thought was right. John Boehner, as far as I'm concerned, losing him is not a loss.
What do you think, Jeff, about Boehner and some of his comments here?
Well, they're certainly colorful, I have to say. And I never thought I'd agree too awful much with John Boehner, but when he talks about these ridiculous knuckleheads that didn't want to actually govern, that just wanted to basically create chaos, I think I have to agree with him there. I mean, you know, you've got the worst deficit in history during the 4 years of the Trump administration, and yet now Republicans have discovered fiscal responsibility once again. Now the Democrats are in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. So, you know, I think John Boehner was a more traditional politician of Democrats and Republicans who felt like, you know, their job that they were elected to do was to get things done. And sometimes compromises had to be made to get things done. And I think his criticism of these knuckleheads of being people who just wanted to create chaos and is pretty apt. And I mean, we've seen it in this Congress. We saw it for 4 years. And where the Trump administration could virtually get nothing done except the horrible thing they did of lowering corporate taxes and taxes on the wealthy in the first year when they controlled both houses of Congress. But, you know, other than that, their level of accomplishments is pretty low. And that's because they don't have people like John Boehner and others who were practical people who could sit down and say, OK, we've got a problem to solve, like immigration. I mean, it's a serious problem. We're on par now to have our worst year since 2019, which was very similar in the people crossing the border. But, you know, no one will you know, the Republicans don't want to sit down and make rational, reasonable steps in the right direction to come to a compromise. And that's what it takes to govern, is people who are willing to be leaders and say, I can't get my full pot of everything I want. You can't get your full pot of everything you want. What's essential to get a deal done here so that we can move forward as a government?
There's so much to respond to in that. First of all, the people that Boehner objected to in the Republican Party were people that did want to govern. They wanted to lead, and he never wanted to lead. He wanted to go along, get along, make a deal. This concept the American public has, well, we need to get something done. No, we don't. We need to get the right things done. Don't do something just to do something. And that was Boehner's attitude. Well, do something. Let's do something. No, let's do the right thing. And Boehner was always going along, to get some, quote, something done. And the objections that, yes, there was some chaos in his caucus, because he was going along just to go along, and the people in the Republican caucus in Congress that he now rejects wanted to do the right thing, not just do anything. So that's part of the problem. Insofar as Jeff's comments about the border, don't lay that at Boehner's door, the Republican door. That's all about Biden opening the border, sending signals that anybody could come across, and they have come across. Biden has canceled the stay in Mexico policy that Trump had. He stopped building the wall. He's canceled the policy that people could apply for asylum from their home country. They didn't have to come into this country. He's done all of those things to encourage people to come. That is all at Joe Biden's doorstep. He's finally admitted it's a crisis. The problem was solved by Donald Trump's last year. And Biden has destroyed all of Trump's policies, and therefore we have this crisis.
All right, Jeff, you will have the response when we come back, but we're going to take a break right here and talk about my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery. And, John, I know you love Mona's.
I love the Kringles.
Well, yeah, Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle, that light and tasty multi-layered pastry that just really melts in your mouth. Check it out, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Find out what all the excitement is about and why so many people have discovered Mona's over the last couple of months. They're doing just a beautiful breakfast. Start serving at 6:30 in the morning. Jeff, I know you enjoy the breakfast very much, as do I. I think we've talked about it before, Jeff. We like those hash browns.
Oh, they're absolutely delicious, and I love their cheese Danish. I don't think there's a better Danish in the entire town. It's got the nicest, flakiest crust, and then the cream cheese in it is just delicious.
Boy, if you're ever looking for John Munger and Jeff Rogers to both be on the same page.
They both agree on Mona's.
They agree. Thumbs up on Mona's Danish Bakery. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It's our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. They are very conveniently located midtown over there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And check out their website. Looking real good. It's moesgallery.com. Our face-off team today, one of them got caught up in court. And he had to do this telephonically and is doing it telephonically. Jeff Rogers and John Munger is with me in studio. And Jeff, before the break, John was saying pretty much everything going on with this situation at the border, you can lay at the feet of the president, Joe Biden. Your response?
Well, not at all. I mean, the same problems we're having at the border are the same problems we've had for 20 years. And it ebbs and flows. And 2019 was one of the worst years ever. Trump was president. And now we're in a cycle right now that's very similar to what happened in 2019. And just because Joe Biden has instituted policies that are more humane in nature and don't denigrate and put children in cages doesn't mean that he's not actively trying to take care of the border and put together a rational immigration policy. But this has got to be something that we can cross the aisle and work on. This can't be something that's purely partisan, that's shoved down the throat of the American voters by one side or the other. It needs to be something that we can reach a grand consensus on. And I particularly enjoyed some of the comments of John Boehner this weekend, where he talked about what a great melting pot we are. And he really blasted Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and their attempt to create what they called the America First Caucus, which would, you know, which would celebrate the unique Anglo-Saxon traditions. And he was outraged by that, as were many other Republicans. Even Kevin McCarthy condemned that. And during Boehner's era, we didn't hear the Republican Party become the party of white identity politics and white grievance and white supremacy. That stuff all emerged with Donald Trump. There was always a little bit of underlying, you know, underbelly of that and some dog whistling going on, but it turned into a foghorn after Trump became president. And I think John Boehner is embarrassed about that part of where the Republican Party has gone, and rightfully so.
That is basically all nonsense. Look, the fact of the matter is Trump didn't get the wall anywhere near completed until 2019. He wasn't able to implement the stay in Mexico policy for these immigrants trying to come into the United States and make them stay in Mexico until 2019. He wasn't able to get this asylum program where you could apply for asylum from your home country. You didn't need to come to the United States. That was finished, and the border was secure. And Biden has changed all of those policies. Biden now has more children in cages than Trump ever had. All you got to do is look at your television. It's the most inhumane system of suffering that we've ever seen at the border, and it's all under Joe Biden, and he doesn't know what to do. He's got no leadership. He's put Kamala Harris in charge of it. She won't even go to the border. He won't go to the border. It's a mess, and it's a mess because of Joe Biden. The other thing Joe Biden's going to do is he's going to remove all. We got 2,500 American troops in Afghanistan that are just there to make sure that training continues with the Afghan troops, to make sure we know what's going on. He's going to pull all those out, and it's the same thing that Obama did in Iraq. He pulled out all the troops, and there was a resurgence in Iraq. And I'm just telling you, we're going to have a resurgence and another war, in Afghanistan because of Joe Biden's policies.
All right, Jeff, John has introduced the topic of Afghanistan, and the date has been set. Well, pretty much the date of when all U.S. troops are pulling.
September 11th.
September 11th. All right, yeah. Jeff, mistake pulling everybody out?
No, I don't believe it is, and I believe this is starting to get a lot of bipartisan support. You're going to have people who are going to try to, you know, make political hay out of it, like John is trying to do right now. But by and large, most people agree it's time to move on. We've been there 20 years. That is the longest war in United States history. You know, it's time for Afghans to take care of their own people, and we have enough. We have enough surveillance, and we have enough military in the area that can be dispatched there if terrorism were to reemerge its ugly head there. And I don't think that's going to happen. But should it, we'll be prepared. And I absolutely disagree with what he said about President Obama and Iraq. We had to get out of Iraq because there was no forces agreement. The Bush administration couldn't negotiate one, and so we had to get our troops out of there when we did, because otherwise they would have been subject to Iraqi law were there to be any problems, and we can't subject our service members to, you know, Iraqi law when military law ought to be the standard by which they're judged.
It's a false story that they could have made us SOFA agreement with the Iraqis. They just didn't want to. And that was their excuse for getting out of Iraq. And we had to go back and fight it all over again. And that's the Taliban is stronger than ever in Afghanistan.
Are we going to have to go back?
We're going to have to go back. You bet we are. They're going to use Afghanistan as another failed state. They're going to destroy the government in Afghanistan, take it over again. Subjugate the women, and we're going to have another problem. And for all these troops Jeff's talking about, where are they? We don't have any troops in that region. We don't have any troops that can move across a border and back into Afghanistan. There's nobody there. We'd have to have major airlifts, major resupplies, do the whole airlift all over again to bring troops back in. It's crazy. It's nuts.
But you could foresee that happening?
Absolutely, it's going to happen.
Let's see if Jeff agrees with that.
Well, I don't agree that's going to happen. I believe we've reached a point now where counterterrorism doesn't need to be taken out with strictly military force. I think we've reached a point where we can do something more surgical in nature should that problem arise in the future, and I think that's what we'll see.
Democrats all think war is very surgical. War is not surgical. Not when you've got somebody that's hiding in a cave in the rocks. It's not surgical. You have to go in and pry them out, and it takes boots on the ground to do it. You can't surgically eliminate those people. And this idea of the Democrats being so much smarter than everybody else, they don't understand how war works. And you're going to have boots on the ground to go in and pry those people back out of the rocks again. It's going to be major problem.
It kind of sounds like the Stone Age.
That's what war is.
Pry them out of the caves.
What they do, Bill.
Mm, okay.
It isn't funny.
I'm sorry I chuckled.
It puts American soldiers at risk. I would rather have a few 2,500 American soldiers there helping train the Afghans to do this war. Let them fight it. We haven't had any deaths in Afghanistan for months. And, you know, this concept that we're going to pull out and leave it to the Afghans, it ain't going to work.
All right, let's bring Jeff in. Jeff, go ahead.
Well, you know, 20 years is long enough. I mean, we can't be over there propping up a government and supporting them for more than 20 years. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, it's time for us to move on. And we have higher priorities than Afghanistan is right now. It's very low on our priority list right now. The only worry we have is, you know, will they allow terrorists back into that country? And I don't think they will. I personally think that country suffered enough that the last thing they want is another invading force to come in and ferret out terrorists. That's the last thing in the world they want. It's of no use to them. It's of no propaganda value. It's of no actual useful value for them to harbor terrorists in that country anymore.
We've had troops in South Korea since 1950. We've had troops in Germany since 1945. And we're talking 2,500 troops, which is a pittance. They are not at risk, but they are helping train the Afghans to do the fighting that you and I both want them to do. And you are guessing, but history shows that you're wrong. It's going to result in a war, another major war. The Afghan government is going to be undermined and destroyed by the Taliban, I'm predicting.
All right.
And we're going to be back there fighting them again.
Let's hope not. Thank you very much, John. Good to see you, John Munger.
Good to see you.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, Jeff Rogers. Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing are proud sponsor of the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you as they have since we really started the radio show back in 2011. We very much appreciate Mohs support, Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and check out the website, mohsgallery.com. We will be right back on this Monday afternoon.
Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for beautiful things that are beautifully in green on 13 acres over at 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. And then while you're at Green Things, that 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, check out Zocalo Village, all that beautiful fine art. Much of it is handmade furniture. Some beautiful things. Their website is zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our Mexico contributor, Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you?
Keith, doing well today, Bill.
You know, this is very interesting. The president of Mexico, Andres Manuel López Obrador, proposing a migration agreement that is kind of... kind of thinking outside the box. He's talking about the upcoming, this week, U.S. climate summit. The president of Mexico is proposing, in effect, that, Mexicans considering immigration to work planting trees and crops across Mexico for 3 years in return for an eventual six-month U.S. work visa.
Well, if you're asking me my view of that,
I am
one more freak. Well, I'm the best person to go to, but even the best people can be confounded. So take a president who's embattled in his own country. Take a president who's out of sync with easily 35 to 40% of the entire population. Take a guy who's about to probably lose his majority in the Congress with the Morena Party and the alliances that it has in the June 6th elections. And it's quite likely that weird things will emanate from him. And that's what's happening. I just don't have it's like a Peace Corps, a Public Works, a WPA project in the United States. It's just weird. So maybe it'll find some traction, but I don't see why the United States is going to buy into something like that. We have our own ideas, our own fanciful ideas about what might be done for the environment. I'm not sure why the United States would buy into that. But you have a president who's, as I said, I'm the only person in Tucson, I believe, who spends an hour and a half listening to this man every day. He's at press conference number 600, Bill.
Okay.
And once again, probably the reason if there was still a Tucson Psychiatric Institute, I would be in it on that alone.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy these things and I get to know the guy better. And I've learned quite a bit from him. He's not a dumb man. He's just a man who's who won by cloaking himself in this very populist robe and continues to do so until today, and whose daily mantras are the poor, I will lead the poor out of poverty. In fact, Mexico has this really interesting chasm right now because as they decide how to distribute the vaccines, they actually had excluded doctors and nurses and health workers in the private sector. They decided that those that were laboring in civil service would get priority. And they excluded the ones that, as you can imagine, that were in the that were from private. Like saying that people at Tucson Medical Center could not get a vaccine, but those who worked at a public hospital could. So, anyway, the man never ceases to amuse and confound me. I listen to him, as I say, every day. And that particular proposal just one more weird thing out of his mouth. And I'm so accustomed. If you asked me one day, we could devote two programs to discussing how weird President López Obrador is.
Well, I just don't understand. He, as you say, he's an intelligent man. Why he would think something so out of the box about this planting trees and crops for 3 years. I mean, he obviously knows this thing is not going to go well or go anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you why. And the word is three syllables, and you probably know it from, you know, military world, and you probably know it from other, you know, debate types of things. And it's distraction. Hmm. Let's look at the things that he's done, okay? He's building this huge train project in southern Mexico, which may or may not produce something. They view it as being a big tourism project. It's called the Tren Maya, the Mayan train. And I actually look forward one day to taking it. Is it worth the money that they're spending on it and all the effort and given all of Mexico's other pressing needs, is that a project that the country ought to be spending publicly on? Then he's building refineries so that Mexicans don't have to buy refined gasoline anymore at all from the U.S., which is where all that comes from right now. But the refinery projects are vastly way, they're so expensive, it's unclear that Mexico will ever recover the amount that she's investing on the project, much less the idea of investing in anything having to do with fossil fuels, is ridiculous to much of Mexican society and much of the world. They've closed down a whole bunch of the solar production. They've closed down a whole bunch of the wind production in favor of projects which will make the Mexican government money that involve, guess what, Pemex. Hmm. And oil. So the man is running against currents. He's swimming against tides of every kind. And so all you can do sometimes is to distract. And he still spends, as I say, we're at press conference number 600. He does five a week.
Wow.
He does them Monday through Friday.
And they go on for an hour and a half.
Oh, beg your pardon?
They go on for 90 minutes. 90.
Bill, he does, and that's why I'm becoming incoherent, because I listen to him, and I start to repeat the same things. I go to sleep talking about mis adversarios me están conspirando en mi contra. My adversaries are doing this to me. My adversaries are doing that to me. I mean, this is the language of the man. You're hearing a delusional, you're hearing, I don't know, delusional, or maybe he does have all these enemies that are conspiring against him. I can't even know. He probably does. You know, the saying about just because I am paranoid doesn't mean I don't have enemies. Whatever the phrase is, just doesn't mean people aren't against me. Because I'm paranoid doesn't mean people aren't against me.
Keith, let me ask you, let's talk a little bit about the massive amounts of kids, young people, this dramatic spike in children crossing the border alone. Is the president of Mexico saying anything about that?
Yeah, when those issues come up, it's really interesting because at these press conferences, he has, and I give him credit, he has his cabinet there. He has his secretary. It would be as if our president got up at a press conference and when he didn't feel comfortable or when there was something that's outside of his expertise, we call the cabinet minister. So, you know, he's right there. So at these press conferences, these morning ones that go, as I said, you can listen to him anytime, put in your search bar, President López Obrador, Mexico live press conference at YouTube, and you'll hear it every day, just like me. But when there's a question like that, like, what are we doing with all these kids that are, you know, unaccompanied and are seeking entrance into the U.S.? He'll say, well, Marcelo will come up here and say, talk to us about that. That's Marcelo Ebrard, the foreign minister. And Ebrard is just a brilliant man and very articulate. I like listening to Ebrard more than I like listening to López Obrador any day of the week. And he'll get up and he'll explain what the Mexican policy is and how things are going. He just was in touch with I've lost track of our name of Secretary of State, Andrew Blakely. Mm-hmm. He'll bring all of Mexico up to date on everything the United States is seeing, thinking, and doing. It's fabulous. So anyway, give López Obrador credit for being a great delegator in that area. Even if you think the guy's policies are zany, he has a very competent, I think they're misguided, but he has a very competent cabinet. and he'll have them explain things. To answer your question, that was a long way to answer your question. Mexico really doesn't believe that it has a role in that. This is a problem that is not a Mexican. This is a Salvadoran, Guatemalan. What López Obrador properly talks about, he's dead on right in this area, is making the economies of Nicaragua, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, the Venezuela. Well, Venezuela is a basket case, so we won't go there. But making those countries hospitable. And López Obrador knows from his own experience, Mexicans, you give Mexicans an opportunity to say, would you rather wake up in the United States today or Mexico? Most would say Mexico. They just want to be, you want to be able to work and flourish in your community. And if you can't, then you look elsewhere to emigrate. And that's where these, as I understand it, I'm sure there's Mexicans sprinkled in. And population-wise, if you look at Mexico's population, 125 million.
Yeah.
Mexico is bigger than the sum of all these other countries. Add Guatemala to Honduras to Nicaragua to, what am I missing from Central America?
Belize.
Belize.
Yeah.
And Mexico has a population great. So it ought to be, on a proportional basis, it really ought to be half Mexicans, right?
Yeah.
And half. But the Mexican economy is a good economy. That's a strong one. Look at what we talk about all the time in the border areas and not the border areas. The whole country is prosperous. It has its issues. There's safety issues. There's a lot of things. But the Mexican economy is a strong one, and public safety is a concern, but it's not as much a concern as it is in being in the streets of San Salvador. So it is not a Mexican problem, and he talks regularly and I think properly about how these other countries need to be made. There need to be these initiatives, which actually are going on right now anyway. They're U.S. and Mexican initiatives to see to it that people don't need to leave the Central American countries.
All right, Keith, stick around, and we are going to take a break. Then we're going to talk a little bit about tourism. Also, what you brought up about that the misconception that Americans believe that everyone crossing the border, that Mexicans just will do anything to get out of their country. And you just said something that would probably surprise a lot of Americans, that basically Mexicans like their own country and like living in Mexico. We're going to take a break right here. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Keith Rosenblum.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico is once again open for visitors from out of state. It's wonderful to see the land of enchantment really leading the nation in the terms of getting vaccine into the arms of its population. I think that, in fact, I know they are about half of their population has been vaccinated. So it'll be a great time to take a trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of opportunities to recreate and some great places to stay as well in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Keith Rosenblum is with us. Keith is one of two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show, and his focus is on Mexico. Keith, when it comes to tourism, Mexico's doing it right. They are welcoming Americans without going through all the hoopla that other countries require, going on to logging into a health app and doing this and that before you can visit Mexico. And I know from personal experience, we had a trip all set to Belize but canceled it on Friday just because of all the hoops that we would have to jump through to make the trip happen. And so we're now focused on we're going to Cancun, Mexico in mid-May, and Mexico is welcoming Americans with open arms.
Keith would like to offer his reaction to that.
I would like to hear the reaction.
That's great. Mexico is treating people like big boys and big girls.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. You could get infected. You could infect. There's lots of possibility. You could be, when you walk outside of your studios today, you could be crushed by a meteor. And I worry about that, Bill, and so do a lot of us.
Yes.
But they're just things that could happen.
Yeah.
And the idea somehow that Mexico would say, okay, the burden's on you. Now, they do have one requirement, which I actually learned because I'm flying from Ciudad Juarez at El Paso. I'm flying from Ciudad Juarez on Sunday with my family, unless they run away from me, but we're all planning to fly to Mexico, León, Guanajuato, and then back from Mexico City to Juarez. And the only thing we've been told we do have to do, they want the airlines want a, within 3 days of the time you leave, they want you to show that you have a negative test. So actually, you'll have to do that as well in Cancun. But it's a very simple process, and the cost, as I understand it, is all of about $6. So, but it seems like good. That seems like good public policy. These bans might serve to make us feel good for a moment or two about, you know, doing something, but they, and maybe they have, maybe like in the Orient, they wind up allowing people to societies to move faster toward eliminating the virus. But I'm not sure. I just don't know about that. And to me, the idea of allowing economies to go ahead and to treat people as discerning, educated citizens seems to me to be the proper way to go. We're weary as a society. We're weary of being told what to do. It's become a First Amendment issue, which I never thought it could be, but it is. So anyway, I for one am glad you're going to Mexico. I'm sorry, Belize, and I think that that especially a year after the fact, as I do with my kids, are tired of Zoom as well, and one's back at Tucson Public Schools. So this type of treatment seems to me to be entirely appropriate. I'm glad you're going, and I think that you set an example for other people. I hope they go to Mexico, and I hope they go to Silver City. I hope people get hustling and realize that we're social animals.
Yeah, and like Belize has said, okay, we will accept Americans who now have been vaccinated. You just need to show your CDC card. But unfortunately, within 72 hours of your departure to the country, you've got to go through all this 8-page health form and on and on and on. And then you've got to show a Q code to the customs people when you land.
Okay, it's so bogus. You know what? Not that I ever use a cliche bill, and yeah. God forbid you would use one.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it, you spiked your what? You spiked your foot to do what, or however the whatever the terminology is?
Yeah.
When that's what the places like Belize is starving.
Yeah.
Tourist dollars.
They are.
They're absolutely famished.
Yes.
The idea that some of the new Belize or how about Sudan? It's like you're in Sudan. They're really going to war-torn country where there's no income, and finally someone decides they're going to go. Really? You're going to tell them here's the documentation you need to show us? Give me a break.
Yeah, and more of the countries are opening up with this requirement, just show that you have the vaccination. But then in the very fine print, you know, it goes on and on about all the health forms and all of that. So hopefully
I know you're a very modest and closed man yourself, but I think when you come back from Mexico, we have to switch the scenario here. I will take your microphone. And I will ask you all the questions about your trip and the things that you saw that both made you think that Mexico was doing things right, or maybe things that gave you pause. But I think maybe it's time for that camera and microphone to be turned on you.
Well, I think that certainly is something to consider after the trip. So maybe your visit to in early June, your month regular.
And I will have, and believe me, I know people in Tucson at Polygraph Enterprises. I will have them in a day ahead of time doing the test with you, because you're not a man to be believed in the personality question.
Yes. Hey, Keith, before we wrap it up, so Mexico is using a vaccine from various countries. Is that what I'm hearing? Some from the United States,
correct.
China, other places. Yeah.
Certainly is diverse. It's like it reminds me of being in a country where they'll take any currency. I remember when I was in Israel in the 80s, you're going to buy something, and people say, I have shekels, I have dollars, I have European currency. Oh, don't worry. Or you could never say, I only have Belgian francs. Because someone would say, well, that's fine. You know, the Belgian franc today is 32 to the dollar. Or, we'll take it. So that's the... There's a acceptance of virtually anything today.
Yeah, you were kind of breaking up, so I think we're going to let you go there, because your cell was kind of breaking up, and I was hearing some other things in the background. So, Keith, we will let you...
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you very much, and I do look forward to hearing about your perspective when you go to Mexico, because you offer that of a really typical traveler. Mm-hmm. I think that a typical traveler up here will be enriched from hearing about it.
All right, Keith Rosenblum. Thank you, Keith. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
Keith Rosenblum checks in with us at least once a month. We check in with Keith talking about Mexico, a subject he is intimately familiar with. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. Dave Ramsey, his very popular show from Ramsey Solutions, talking about your money and creating a budget, something a lot of people never do. But Dave has some very good advice for you. All right. On behalf of my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you well. Have a great afternoon.